Ram tesham vishadam samayan iva. Sutta Goswami said, upon reaching the border of his most prosperous metropolis, known as the country of the Anarthas, Dwaraka, the Lord sounded his auspicious conch shell, heralding his arrival and apparently pacifying the dejection of the inhabitants. This verse from the first canto, 11th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, is describing Lord Sri Krishna's entrance into the holy city of Dwaraka. The beloved Lord was away from the beautiful city of Dwaraka for an extended period of time. He was at Kurukshetra. There was a great battle between the Pandavas and the Kurus. The eternal struggle between good and evil. The eternal struggle between exploitation for one's own egoistic purposes and service unto the Supreme Lord. This is a struggle that is the cause of so many wars throughout history. But this struggle begins within the mind, within the heart of every living being. On one side, our false ego, our mind and our senses want to enjoy the resources of material nature, want to prompt us into actions of exploitation for sense gratification, for false prestige, that actually all sense gratification is meant for Krishna. He is the supreme enjoyer of everything that exists. And all prestige is meant ultimately for Krishna. That is why we chant his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Because we want to give pleasure and glory to Krishna. It's not that we want it for ourselves. We want it to offer it to Krishna. So the spiritual side, which is prompted by the natural condition of the soul, wants us to offer all glory and all pleasure in humble service to Lord Krishna. But on the other side, our mind and senses and our egos want it all for ourselves. Don't offer it to Krishna. Keep it for yourself. And the mind and ego is so tricky and cunning that even when we offer something to Krishna, ultimately we want to do it to make ourselves famous. So this is a great battle. The battle of our natural inclination for humble service against the egoistic purpose to exploit. And this battle is an eternal battle. Of course, materialistic people, following in the footsteps of Duryodhana and the Kurus, and devotees are trying to follow in the footsteps of the Pandavas, who were led by Lord Krishna. And this is the subject of the Bhagavad Gita. The subject of Bhagavad Gita is how to fight this internal battle between service and exploitation, between humility and pride that is within our own hearts, and how to win the battle. There's only one way. We have to follow in the footsteps of Arjuna and accept the teachings of Krishna and live by those teachings. And the essence of those teachings is to never forget Krishna, to always remember Krishna, to always remember that we are the servant of Krishna. Yat karoshi yad asnashi yad juhoshi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi konti yat tat kurushma darapanam. That whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer and give away, everything should be done as an offering to me, Krishna says. Prakrite kriyamana nigunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudatma karata hamiti manyate. And while you're doing everything as an offering to me, know that it's only by my power that you can even do that. Don't even take credit for what you're doing for Krishna, because Krishna is giving you the power to do it for him. It's like taking water from the Ganges and offering it back to the Ganges. The credit goes to the Ganges. We just benefit because we're allowing the flow of the mercy of God to go through us. Because all wealth, all intelligence, our body, our everything has been created by Krishna, is being maintained by Krishna. The air that we breathe is being supplied by Krishna. Everything is coming from Krishna. The perfection of our life is simply to say, yes, Krishna, it's all yours. Let me use it according to your will. That is what Gita teaches. If you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is satisfied. Bhagavatam says, in the same way, if you please Krishna, everything is satisfied. Janmadya shayataha. Because Krishna is the source of everything that exists, the root cause of everything that exists. Jagyaratat kamanon yatra lokomam karma bandhana taratham karma kondaya mukta sanga samachara. Therefore, Krishna explains that every person has to do his prescribed work, but it should be done in consciousness of the truth. Arjuna was a warrior and a grihastha. Krishna told him, do this work, but do it as a service to me. Don't forget me. That is the perfection of life. Because it is that type of work which enlightens and awakens the soul. Every other type of work, Krishna says, covers the soul by the three modes of material nature. Either covers the soul by the mode of ignorance, tamaguna, or the mode of passion, rajaguna, or the mode of goodness, sattvaguna. Piety covers the soul with the mode of goodness. Work motivated by greed covers the soul by the mode of passion, rajaguna. and activities motivated by cruelty and intoxication cover the soul with the mode of ignorance. Charity covers the soul with the mode of goodness. But Krishna says, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nestraigunya Bhavarjana Nirdvandva Nitya Shatvishtoni Yogakshema Atmavan. The purpose of human life is not to cover the soul with goodness, passion, or ignorance. The human form of life is meant to uncover the soul. And therefore Krishna says, Bhaktya Mama Bhijanati Yavandya Shashmitatvata. That bhakti, work done in devotion to God, in humble service to God, that work uncovers the soul. It's not always necessarily what we do, but the consciousness in which we do it that is the source of either the bondage or the liberation of our lives. So Krishna went to Kurukshetra in order to speak the Bhagavad Gita, to teach this sublime message to all humanity for all time to come. And also Krishna, to show the nature of his love for his devotee, he became Arjuna's charioteer. He became the humble servant of his own servant. Lord Chaitanya taught us that the highest position is to be the servant of the servant of the servant. And we find on the battlefield of Kurukshetra that Krishna himself took great pleasure in being the servant of his servant. Of his servant. Because actually, Arjuna was the servant of Yudhisthira. Yudhisthira was the servant of Krishna. So Krishna became the servant of the servant of the servant by being charioteer. Charioteer is not a glorious job, it's a simple. Today our chariots are our automobiles. So you have a driver for your automobile. You tell him, take me here, take me there. Stay here, wait for me. Huh? And if he does something wrong, you tell him he's nonsense. It's not a very prestigious job at all. But that's the job that Krishna accepted, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's the controller of all controllers, who's controlling the sun and the moon and the wind and the rain and the seasons, who in the spiritual world he's being worshipped by the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, as the king of Vaikuntha. He's a supreme enjoyer of Vrindavan and all the Brijbasis. Here is even the demigods, Indra, Vayu, Surya, Brahma, Shiva. They are all carrying out the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But yet when he comes to the world, he carries out the orders of his devotees. Take my chariot between the armies. Yes. So besides speaking the Bhagavad Gita and showing the world the importance of a devotee who surrenders his life to the Lord, he wanted to show the nature of his love for such a devotee, that he becomes the humble servant of such a devotee. He leaves the position of being Lakshminath and becomes Bhakta Vatsal. Partha Sarathi means the chariot driver of Arjuna. And then Krishna, on that great battlefield of Kurukshetra, he wanted to show the world that my devotees are never vanquished. Kunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. Krishna, Arjuna, you declare it, my devotee is always victorious in the end. For some time, I will allow my devotee to appear defeated, exploited, and cheated. The Pandavas, for so many long years, they were defeated, exploited, and cheated. But in the end, it's only to prove their glory the more. And Krishna arranged for Bhishma, for Drona, for Karna, Radheya, and for so many great Maharathis to be destroyed so that Yudhisthira and Arjuna could be enthroned as kings of the world. That morality is always victorious in the end. Sometimes in our life, we see that people who are dishonest, who are immoral, and who are basically cheaters, they become so wealthy, they become so famous, so popular. It seems that all their desires are fulfilled. And somebody who's honest and moral and religious, he faces so many problems, or she faces so many struggles, the world's against them, nothing seems to work. Why does God do this? God wanted to show us why he does this through the life of the Pandavas. That struggle only serves the purpose of increasing the devotion of a sincere devotee. It forces that devotee to cry out for Krishna helplessly more than ever. And in doing so, that devotee is further purified and further elevated. So therefore, Tathena kampam sushamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vibhagam ridvagvapapur vivadam namaste jivetiya mukti pade sudayabhak. Bhagavat says that one who in the most painful suffering in life is grateful to God and says, my dear Lord, in the face of this terrible suffering and failure in my life, I accept that this is just a tiny little sample of what I deserve for my past sinful activities. But I accept it as your mercy that you're giving me this. And with folded palms, I bow my head at your lotus feet. Bhagavat says, only a person who with a grateful heart can bow down before God in the most terrible suffering conditions of life, that person alone is fit to inherit real liberation. Dayabak means one who is fit to accept his inheritance from his father, from Krishna. And our inheriting right as a son of God is to be liberated. Krishna is our father. Aham bija pratapita. If a son goes astray, the inheritance is there, but he doesn't get anything. But when the son comes back, then all the inheritance of the father is there. And we are all sons of Krishna. That means we are meant to inherit the whole spiritual world. We are meant to inherit an eternal life full of bliss and full of knowledge. That's our natural inheritance, Dayabhak. How do we claim that inheritance? This verse of Bhagavatam explains that when Krishna puts you in the most miserable situation of life, where it appears that the world's against you, And everything seems to be falling apart before your eyes. It may be your health, it may be your wealth, it may be your distinction, it may be everything. When you're in that situation, and you can say, Krishna, thank you. This is your mercy. I am your servant. Please help me in this situation to increase my love and my faith in you. If you offer that prayer at that time with a true heart, then your inheritance, you are eligible to receive your inheritance from your Father. Which means the supreme state of liberation in pure love, prema. It is to such a person that prema bhakti is rewarded. That is the real wealth of our inheritance, to love Krishna. And to enjoy all the property of Krishna in the spiritual world. So Krishna taught these beautiful lessons to us in such a wonderful way that although the Pandavas were suffering miserably, they lost their wife temporarily, Draupadi. They lost communication with their own mother, Kunti. And for so many long years, they lost their palace, their castles, their everything. And they lived in the jungles, hiding for their lives. But in the end, because they always had faith and devotion in the process of serving Lord Krishna, Krishna annihilated all opposition and gave them not only the kingdom of the world to enjoy, but he gave them the most sublime spiritual realizations to enjoy eternally. Yudhisthira and Arjuna, when they received Krishna's special mercy and were enthroned as the kings of Hastinapur and the kings of the world, they realized that these palaces and all this power and all these armies, it's temporary. But what we really received is we received Krishna's friendship, and that is eternal. And that is the great wealth Krishna gives us. The wealth of this world, even if Krishna gives us abundance of it, use it properly. It's nice. Accept it and use it properly for the benefit of God and others. But it's not real wealth, because it will be taken away after a few years. And even before that, whatever you have, you cannot even enjoy it unless you're peaceful within. So in this way, the real wealth that Krishna gave the Pandavas was he gave them himself. He gave them his own intimate friendship and love, which is eternal. Plus he gave them the kingdom of the world and all the wealth of the world. He gave them everything. The best of all worlds. So after accomplishing this and enthroning Yudhisthira and then going back to Kurukshetra to reveal his blessed darshan to Bhishma at the time he was leaving the world, then Krishna decided to return to Dwarka. And although he was giving so much pleasure to the Pandavas, the poor residents of Dwarka, they were weeping day and night, when will our Krishna return? You see, the residents of Dwarka, primarily they were eternal associates of Krishna that descended from the spiritual world with him. And for them, to be without Krishna is unbearable. to not see him is unbearable. There's a story of one great devotee of Lord Ram. This devotee, he made a vow that I will not eat or drink anything until after I go to the palace of Ram in Ayodhya and have his darshan. After I have his blessed darshan and bow down to him, only then can I eat or drink. But sometimes, because Ram was Ayodhyapati, he was the king of Ayodhya, after he returned from his exile due to Kaikeyi. Because as he was king, sometimes he would have to leave Ayodhya, sometimes for a day, sometimes for a few days, sometimes for a week, sometimes for several weeks, to serve his citizens properly. So this devotee, when Ram would leave, he would not eat or drink anything until Ram came back and he saw his darshan. This became very... It wasn't so inconvenient for the devotee, but it was very inconvenient to Lord Rama to see his devotee suffering like this. So Lord Rama gave this devotee special deities of himself, deities of Sitaram. They were ancient deities. And he told him, now every day, these deities are none different than me, every day you go and bow down before your deities and then you eat nice prasad. So this is the nature of a devotee's love for the Lord. So the residents of Dwarka, their whole life was revolving around seeing Krishna and serving Krishna. The queens of Dwarka, Krishna expanded himself to live with each and every one of his many queens simultaneously, just so they would never feel lonely from him. But he left for many months to be in Hastinapur, to be in Kurukshetra. Something like the summer season. Now the summer season is just beginning. As it progresses, it gets hotter and hotter and hotter. It becomes more and more and more unbearable. And everyone's just waiting for the clouds to come and the rains to come. And when the rains come, everyone says, Harivo, Harivo. One time we were at Raghunath Prabhu's house having program outside, and the rains came, and everyone said, Harivo. You remember? Because the rains mean everything becomes green and fresh and alive again. So in the same way, the residents of Dwarka, they were simply longing to be reunited with Krishna. And this beautiful chapter of Bhagavad Gita, of Srimad Bhagavatam, describes how Krishna entered into Dwarka to give supreme pleasure to his devotees. But actually, in order to apply these beautiful pastimes to our own life, our heart is like Dwarka. It is meant to be the kingdom of God. Wherever God dwells, that is his kingdom. Our heart is meant to be Vrindavan for one type of devotees, or Dwarka for another type of devotees. Our heart is Dwarka. It's the kingdom of Krishna. And we are the jivatma, the spirit soul. But for so many lifetimes, we have forgotten Krishna. And the soul is just longing, waiting for Krishna to return. But we have to be like the residents of Dwarka. We have to be satisfied with nothing else of this world until Krishna returns and reveals himself within our hearts. If we're satisfied with anything else, that's what we get. But do you think the residents of Dwarka enjoyed their palaces or enjoyed their beautiful fort in the sea? For them, without Krishna, it was all useless. It was all a dreary void. It was nothing. They wanted Krishna. And all these other facilities were wonderful only because Krishna was there. Our souls have to have that same longing for Krishna. That we have this body, we may have some health, we may have a family, we may have some influence within the world, but it only has any meaning to us so long as Krishna's in our life. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Yugayatam nimeshena chakshusha prabhrushayatam shunyayatam jagat saravam govinda virahename. Sunyayatam jagat saravam govinda virahename. That Krishna, bereft of your beautiful vision, this whole universe, the whole jagat, is sunyayatam. It is all a void. It is all nothing. I see nothing appealing and nothing worth living for in this whole creation without you. The soul has to develop this quality. When we long for Krishna, like the residents of Dwarka, in separation, we attract Krishna to reveal himself within the Dwarka of our hearts. And here it is explained that Krishna knew how all the residents of Dwarka were longing for him. And just before entering the city to announce his arrival, he blew upon his auspicious conch shell, Panchajanya. And Krishna's conch shell is unmistakable. No one can sound a conch shell like Krishna. And when the inhabitants of Dwarka heard the beautiful, thunderous sound of Krishna's blessed conch shell, they understood that Krishna has returned. And they became jubilant. And they decorated the whole city and decorated themselves the best way they possibly could just to greet Krishna, to welcome Krishna, and to glorify Krishna, who has returned into the city of Dwarka. In the same way, we want to welcome Krishna in the city of our hearts. And Krishna has already sounded his blessed conch shell to announce his arrival in the form of his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we should welcome the sound of Krishna's holy name by raising our arms, just like the inhabitants of Dwarka. Because Krishna is not different than his name. When Krishna's name enters into our heart, Krishna is entering into our heart. Just as the residents of Dwarka greeted him with open arms and loving kirtan and loving singing and dancing, in the same way we should greet his holy name with wonderful festival of singing and dancing. So at this time, everyone rise, and we will welcome the beautiful form of Harinam into our hearts with a festival and celebration for the pleasure of Lord Krishna. As I am chanting, with folded hands, welcome this beautiful sound of Krishna into your hearts. And when you are chanting, celebrate the arrival of Krishna through his name by raising your arms and offering your life in festive joy for his divine pleasure.